is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Guardian Radio AM. Today is Wednesday, September 9th. It's a little after 11 o'clock in the morning. Once again, this is C.A. Nuring. You know when you're in awe, you're sitting down and being schooled by intellectuals. I'm here listening to Darvin Russell and Aaron Green commemorate a topic, right? I'm sitting back down and saying, that should be a thesis, man. You need to write something on it. We were continuing this conversation or a conversation on the On The Clock show regarding policing, regarding how it impacts children, regarding whether our government is managing an economy versus governing properly, right? Russell mentioned a book. What's the name of the book again?
The Boy Crisis.
The Boy Crisis. And I said, man, we got to start off the conversation with that, right? Get a narrative of that. Just now when I was coming in, there was a picture of policemen. They were doing their regular patrol through inner city communities. Mm-hmm. And as they do their patrol, the person who's doing the critique on social media captured a picture of the police overshadowing, correcting, removing a stall.
Okay.
The stall was geared towards the school that was across the street. Mm-hmm. But it was an illegal stall. Mm-hmm. They set up in business and say, man, we're selling our snacks and whatever it is, without any license. Mm-hmm. And the commentator was vexed. Mm-hmm. The commentator was vexed and said, man, instead of y'all go look for crime and stuff, mm-hmm. you are trying to police these small businesses.
Sure.
But we are in a crisis of people just doing things willy-nilly. Mm-hmm.
Just doing whatever they want. So we talked about the social development, yes. youth development. Like, the stop signs. We used to teach people where the stop signs were, what they were, and right, how to interpret them. Mm-hmm. And we stopped teaching people what the stop signs are, right? And that's why the traffic conversation is so important to me, because it's the easiest space, right? Like, it's the best tool to use to teach. People will do, are now doing whatever they want until they're stopped, right?
Correct.
So when I see people stopping at stop signs now, in the majority of instances, they only stop because they cannot go without causing an accident. Mm-hmm. And then some people, they don't stop because they figure they can get out in just enough time for the person to hit them from behind, mm-hmm. and that person will be responsible for the accident that they caused.
The rules. And there's another picture also, Darvin, I want to bring up so you all can do commentary on. Mm-hmm. It's a picture by a school.
Yes.
The school published a picture about 5 to 6 young boys. Mm-hmm. The caption from the school: they came to school as hoodlums.
Okay.
Now they look sensible. They cut the. Apparently, they didn't cut the hair, and they had persons there cutting these young men's
sure,
hair
yeah.
and say, "Man, you're no longer hoodlums." Mm-hmm. And I wanted to know if that phrase was violent, mm-hmm. violence against the young
it's,
boys.
It's psychological violence.
And do they, our leaders, understand that it is violence? And we know we're having a conversation on right now about women's hair or young girls' hair
and
in school.
And the bonnets.
And the bonnets, right? Whether in an attempt to have a particular society, mm-hmm. that now we are spreading like a colonizer type of violence, that you got to look a particular type of way in order to get education. Mm-hmm. If your hair isn't cut a particular kind of way, you're not going to be educated. Mm-hmm. If you, as a grown woman, decided that I go wear a bonnet, mm-hmm. because I'm spending my money at your restaurant, mm-hmm. you have the right to say, man, I'm not going to welcome you here because the bonnet means that you are a diminished person. Mm-hmm. You're not up to my level,
okay.
right? I want to have all of that in this conversation that we can have right now. And I yield to you intellectuals now to explain the future Bahamas, what we should be looking at, right? Is this violence that we perpetrating on ourselves, on our children, right? Policing our space. What should the police be doing? What type of craft and wherewithal they should be using, right? Moving forward. Because I am concerned, but it seems as if we're not having the right conversation on what type of society we should be looking at.
Mm-hmm. All right. So let me say, it is violence. is misguided. I don't think it's intentional. I don't think they intend to destroy spirit and to break down young men. Mm-hmm. I think they are misguided, mm-hmm. right? But it is absolute violence towards the young men and the community in general, right? Because here's the first thing. If a young man is unkempt, the first thing you're supposed to think is, what is his living situation like? If the boy's scalp is dry, the first thing you're supposed to say is, does he not have someone to love him enough to moisturize him? Mm-hmm. Does he have some, are there enough resources in the home for him to have the basic personal hygiene resources? Perhaps it is that he does not have hair moisturizer, mm-hmm. right? Perhaps it is that he does not have someone who cares enough to ensure that not only does he go to a barber, but he goes to a sanitary barber, mm-hmm. right? And that his head is treated properly. The first thing you're not supposed to think is to punish them. Mm-hmm. The first thing you're supposed to think is, where is the lack and how can we resolve that? And how is the lack impacting their academic experience? And so that's the first thing I could say is violence, because it's misguided. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's intentional, but it's obvious and it needs to be shifted. I know it's violence because the first thing you think to do is to punish as opposed to figure out what's missing, what's lacking, how do we resolve this if it is an issue. Because you may discover, mm-hmm. as opposed to punishing them, that they living in a car, that they 13 and they're in charge of themselves, mm-hmm. and they're doing the best that they can to get to school every day. Mm-hmm. That's what you might discover. You might discover they taking care of their Grammy and they working when they leave school. And all the money they have goes towards the bills and Grammy's medicine. That's what you might discover.
At the risk of sounding insensitive, it's sometimes helpful to contextualize these conversations using a different analogy. Mm-hmm. I can see why people would be triggered by the use of the word hoodlum when it comes to boys and how they wear their hair or don't wear their hair, mm-hmm. to your point, Aaron. Do we feel the same way if we're talking about braids and extensions on a girl, piercings, tattoos, the skirt is too short, mm-hmm. The outfit is too tight? I think the word misguided was very apropos because it indicates intentionality or the lack thereof in this case. Mm-hmm. When I look at things like this, I try to resist my initial reaction because I need to extrapolate across society. If we go down this slippery slope, and we've seen how we are going down the slippery slope, right? Mm-hmm. When you and I were in school, the skirts needed to be a certain length below the knee, whatever it was. Boys' hair was always cut in a fade or short, or these grooming conversations were not a thing because everybody complied. Mm-hmm. Now you have a more individualistic view of society and the world. My child should be allowed to do whatever within self-expression. This is where the Western influence, our children going away to college in the UK or Europe or the United States, these are the generation of adults now who are making policy and law and responsible for what is appropriate and not appropriate. I'm going to try to not go down that slippery slope because I think it always ends in the society becoming more liberal. And I don't know how comfortable I am with that yet, especially as a parent. But be that as it may, I do believe that the use of these inflammatory words like hoodlum, you are a disgrace, you're whatless, all these colloquial expressions that we commonly use is damaging to children. Mm-hmm. I would like to go back to the days when our default was empathy, concern, mm-hmm. as you indicate. It was pull the young man to the side during break and ask him what's going on. I know your mommy, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I know she's having challenges because we are a prideful people. So I don't want to embarrass you mm-hmm. during the school day, But I have at least a tangential understanding of what is going on in your home environment. So rather than criticize, complain, or even reprimand you, I'm going to lead with concern and care. We recognize that that is missing. When you go on social media, a person can come and appeal for help, and you go to the comments immediately, and the first few comments are, you groan. Why are you in this situation in the first place? How you get here? This is a concerning lack of empathy that our society has slid into. And I think we need to be more introspective as to how we are treating one another. I call it, we have a loss of kindness. It's a kindness void that's happening in the Bahamas. Listen, very disconcerting.
I think we have a medical crisis, right? A recent study showed that excessive use of over-the-counter pain medications like aspirin, acetaminophen, right, actually impact our empathy centers in the brain, diminish our capacity to practice empathy. And so then when you have a child, what you're passing child is a diminished capacity genetically, but also socially, right? Your capacity to teach them empathy is also diminished.
Okay.
And so we have, I think we have a cascading crisis of a loss of empathy.
Without question.
Which then leads to the loss of kindness, because we are a kind people, right? But we've forgotten how to practice empathy. In fact, we've been sort of socialized into justifying a lack of empathy because it's a dog-eat-dog world and it's my job to be mean to protect myself. And as a radical grown up in a radical Christian space, right, that just does not make sense to me.
So it's interesting that you say that. A friend of mine and I had this conversation and I told her I appreciated her contrarian perspective. She had a different view as to why this loss of kindness is occurring that I thought was quite intriguing, and I'm curious as to what you both think of this. Her theory was that the 2025 version of Bahamians and the Bahamas, it's not that it has gone anywhere or been lost, but it's that our suffering and our survival has become the paramount concern. So when we are fighting for our very existence, we are depressed and broke and struggling to pay bills. Those deeper emotions of empathy and concern pale in comparison to our immediate need. You know, if you look at Maslow's hierarchy, it'll become apparent. Our immediate need for survival, and I never thought about it that way. It's almost as though our current condition, mental state, prevents or at least delays an empathetic response. And I had to sit with that for a minute because it rang true to me when you thought about it a little bit more. The stresses that the average family is under now, I would argue, is exponentially greater than it was 25 years ago.
And I'll pause you there because I have to challenge that.
Absolutely.
Is it the society we're talking 2025, is it that bad?
Yes,
in contrast to 10, 20 years ago?
Yes, it is. I'll do my show tomorrow when I'm on air tomorrow is actually going to speak to this point. It is statistically, there is just no doubt that it's worse off.
But the government would say that they're doing programs that things are better, especially better than 5 years ago.
So here is where the logic's apart, Mr. Nuri. The fact is, the cost of living has grown exponentially while your salary has not. So while the government may do more, its more has still not reduced the gap sufficient for you to feel as though you have achieved relief. So let me put it to you this way. If I gave you a raise of $50, but your bills increased by $200, and the government gave you an additional $5 relief, I can't say that they didn't help, but you just helping me with $5 when my variance has grown to $150 still feels like no help. That's what we're dealing with right now.
Stick a pin on your left shoulder, right? Let's stick it there. then imagine that over the last 40 years, mm-hmm. there's been a decrease, a significant decrease in what I like to call gray market, black and gray market contributions to the broader economy, right?
Yeah.
So as the drug trade shrunk or mm-hmm. diminished, mm-hmm. whichever perspective, or consolidated into different hands, mm-hmm. as the financial services industry reformed yes. and evolved mm-hmm. to global standards, mm-hmm. we're going to say that, mm-hmm. and then the numbers space, right, yes. as it was regularized mm-hmm. And less money winning in that space. Mm-hmm. I think those three things we call black and gray market contributions to the economy, mm-hmm. first of all, unspoken
yes.
all the time. And so now in 2025, there's an expectation that you can glean from the, not what older people are doing, but what they're not doing,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Like there's an expectation that there should be money in the economy that just isn't there.
Okay.
And people don't know why it's not
yes.
there, because
mm-hmm.
they didn't know where it was coming from mm-hmm. in the first place. Mm-hmm. And I think that is also, that's what I stick on the right-hand side when I stick your left shoulder.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Russell mentioned that we are a proud society, or once was a proud society. When I was younger, mm-hmm. they gave out school bags, like how they give out school bags at the end of the,
right.
at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But I never gone. My mom said, no, I don't want nobody know our business.
Yes.
Nobody in my neighborhood went on any kind of line yeah. to get books and bags.
Absolutely.
Now, if the politician brought it to the house and give it to us, I said, man, thanks. Mm-hmm. I could need these extra mm-hmm. books. But to join a long line
yes.
to collect a book bag,
mm-hmm.
and no matter how destitute we were,
yes.
And I grew up in the city, as mm-hmm. you know, Aaron. We all was poor. We mm-hmm. all lived in 2-bedroom clapboard house.
Yes.
We all could have done with extra money and things, mm-hmm. right? But we would have never humbled ourselves to go on that line.
Yeah.
I want to know, in this current Bahamas,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
we see the line, especially at the end of the year, with the number men doing
yes,
there.
Yes.
It wraps around. They're 6 o'clock in the morning,
yeah.
and it blocks the traffic for 20, 30, 40, 50 minutes mm-hmm. you in traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Why are Bahamians now joining these lines? Is things that bad?
I might have a different perspective on that. I do not believe that the current incarnation of what you see has anything to do with legitimate need. So much more so than it has to do with a freebie, and I'm taking advantage, not to diminish the fact that there are some people who actually do have the need, Mr. Nouri. But I'm always observant as an analyst to the cars that people drive when they pull up to these events, mm-hmm. how they got there. To Aaron's point, the state of dress of the children who attend the event. You know, my mom used to have this thing, you know, back in the day we grew up with Saturday cookouts was the thing. We'd spend Saturday afternoon going around patronizing people's stalls, whatever they were raising money mm-hmm. for. Churches did it routinely. And my mom just had a principle. She never bought food from anybody that was driving a high-class station wagon. Mm-hmm. Because to her, you clearly have a priority problem and you don't have a need. I don't need to support that vendor. And I think what is happening is, if I'm giving something free to you, whether I need it or not, I go and go get it. It happens with the turkey giveaway every Christmas or what have you. I mean, if you're giving me a free turkey, I'm going to take a free turkey. I didn't need it. Because to your point, Mr. Nouri, the principle that our parents tried to teach us with what you experienced growing up was, you need to be satisfied with whatever mommy and daddy can provide, because when you're not, the danger that they were trying to protect you from was asking of the wrong person mm-hmm. with an improper motive for a thing that you crave that in their mind was not necessary. And so now I do believe that the stigma associated with asking for help, even when the help was legitimate, has been somewhat removed, and we're just going because it's free. I don't know if we have done any assessment as to whether or not the people receiving those things actually needed them. Yeah, that's my 5 cents on that one.
Yeah, I mean, find out a lot. If mm-hmm. if you have a car to get there, you
yeah.
probably are not
yeah.
the most in need
yeah.
of the thing yeah. that you're there to get.
Because you're talking about maybe what a $20 worth of product, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And Even if it's more like in mm-hmm. the in COVID time, I had a vehicle.
Yes.
My elderly neighbor, she don't drive. Mm-hmm. Her son, fisherman, off out of work, they didn't drive. Yeah. Right. So I go at their request to go and collect the things mm-hmm. for them. Right. And mm-hmm. people looking at me on the line, mm-hmm. and because they know, oh, usually oh, yeah, your daughter, yeah, yeah, right? Sure, what yeah. you doing on this line? And for me though, it didn't matter. I could tell people I am underemployed at that yeah. time. I was unemployed. Right. Right? It didn't matter. Right. I was self-employed in a time when you couldn't go to market. Mm-hmm. And I could not fix myself to go and apply, submit mm-hmm. for the donation. My poorness,
yes.
I knew that with the family structure mm-hmm. that I have, that I couldn't in my heart. Mm-hmm. I couldn't go to church and look mm-hmm. at people yeah. and say, I've been on that mm-hmm. line. Mm-hmm. I can figure it out. Mm-hmm. I could make it, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm with you. I mm-hmm. think there are a lot of people who are also in that position, but still sort of take advantage.
Yeah, sure.
And then I think there are people who, they have a need, but the need is not the goods. The need is they need help organizing.
Yeah, yeah.
They need help seeing the vision that, look, you actually have the resources you need. Mm-hmm. You just need to organize. Mm-hmm. You need to shift your personal culture, mm-hmm. or you need to figure out, which is more difficult, mm-hmm. how to shift your family culture, mm-hmm. right? Because there's some things you just can't do on your own. But, you know, I agree with you. There has been a shift in how we think about other people, how we relate to other people, and what we think is acceptable, right? This whole, mm-hmm. the survival thing, yes. right? I get that part. You're in survival mode. Mm-hmm. My question is, are you clearly seeing the environment? Are you able to identify the resources that are available to you? Mm-hmm. The Equality Bahamas theme for International 16 Days Against Violence was anti-resilience. Mm-hmm. Because we've taught people that resilience means I did it on my own, all by myself, okay. no help. But what resilience actually is understanding you can't do it on your own mm-hmm. and identifying the resources that are available to you
okay.
and connecting to them,
okay.
right? So it is like, okay, I'm not going to the school, I'm not going to social services to ask for uniform mm-hmm. assistance, mm-hmm. but my child's father's aunt is a seamstress.
Yes.
So I go into her and I can let her know, listen, we gotta do a down payment. Mm-hmm. I need you to buy this up front mm-hmm. and give me your payment plan.
Okay.
Because I need to get this girl in these uniforms.
Wow.
Right? And so you find someone who is able to work with you and says, okay, look here. But you gotta be good, do your part, mm-hmm. and I can do my part. And that's resilience.
Yeah.
Okay, I have read this text. I'm going to bait you some more, mm-hmm. right? Goofa I can bait
season,
you first.
Goofa season
coming. Yeah, imagine. I can bait you first. Recently, there's an uproar by Behemoth saying that a particular business had their logo on a donated school bag.
Okay.
Right? And the uproar of what I call Behemoths who can afford to buy bags, saying that bag you're giving out free should not have any logo on it. And I'm telling you the story that when I was younger, of course, my mother bought my bag, but I happened to win a Pepsi Cola bag. You know, I think yes. they had the, you know, when you pick up the soda can mm-hmm. thing, and I collected all the Pindus can and I
popped the top.
Yes, and I got a Pepsi Cola bag. Okay. It wasn't a good bag, but it had a Pepsi Cola on it. And of course, I put it on the side and said, I don't want this Pepsi Cola bag.
Sure.
Mid school year, my good bag popped. Guess what bag I had to use? A Pepsi Cola right. bag. But I want you to respond sure, to that, yeah, but let me yeah. read this text. It says, good morning. I saw the closing of that stall. I don't give them right to have the stall open, but what bothers me, illegal immigrants have stalls all over the place. Why are they not shutting them down? I want to have some commentary on that too, but I can let you all talk while I continue to read through the text, see what I'm going to read next.
Mm-hmm. So when I think about the controversy around the bag, I'm always struck by things like that occupy so much mental capacity of people, because if you need it, you went and got it. Mm-hmm. How do you criticize the benevolence, the generosity of a corporate sponsor who has zero obligation for doing what they did? I just found it to be ungrateful. You had the right to not take the bag. Leave it for those who were quite comfortable using the bag. I was very disturbed by a lot of that commentary, because it's the kind of thing that, if you're not steadfast in your giving, would make you question whether or not you even did a good thing. If you pay too much attention to the negativity. So I applaud them for doing that. There is a school of thought, Mr. Nuri, where some people were coming from around, you could still make the donation, just don't put the logo on the bag. I accept that and I understand that. But their motivation, I'm sure, is part marketing as well. And there's nothing wrong with that. If they chose to leave the logo on the bag, that's their prerogative. You also have a choice, if you're that offended by it, not to accept the bag. These are simple matters.
So let me start off with a disclaimer. They my family. They are family, Nuri. Mm-hmm. I like to say that. But they're still their enemy, because I ain't size Andrus for nothing, right? Mm-hmm. Anyway, that disclaimer being laid down, they are a corporation. Mm-hmm. That is, I call their name. Mm-hmm. They're family of companies. There's three of them. They got They have international franchises or elements. They are a corporation. And corporate culture is that corporate merchandise has corporate branding and logos on it.
Yes.
We accept it everywhere. Mm-hmm. Locally, we accept it. Abroad, we accept it. Mm-hmm. We buy people bags. We don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. We don't do research into who the company is. Oh, that logo look cool.
Yeah.
Oh, that name is cool. Oh, this what the people wearing. We just accept it, right? It's corporate culture. Corporations put their logos and branding on their merchandise. So there's nothing out of the ordinary there, right? But if you're going to say, hey, you have my child marketing for you, this seems unfair. There were things in the bag. It wasn't just a bag.
Correct.
Right? Mm-hmm. And I made a point to somebody that I'd love to talk about it, because there's so much to throw in the air. Mm-hmm. For me, it is... there were uniform vouchers in the bag.
Okay.
Right? And I thought, okay, here is a corporation. You go wear my logo. I'm going to give you something for it. Mm-hmm. But not just anything. Here's something that actually goes towards school support.
Yes, yes.
Right? And so I thought, if there is a trade-off, that's not an unfair trade-off, right? But to say why you put your logo on it, they're a corporation. That's what corporations do. That's what we all do. Right? Why? For me, it's something deeper. Mm-hmm. We don't like ourselves. Mm-hmm. We don't see the value in ourselves, and we don't see ourselves as real. Mm-hmm. Right? But that corporation has shown that it's real. You don't have to believe it's real.
I have a text critique about something you all said earlier. It said, whenever people express their thoughts or opinions, we are so intent on displaying our critical analysis ability. I guess it mean you. You always critical analysis.
Yeah.
But actually, you use the word critical analysis too. So that might definitely mean the two of you. So that we fail to listen carefully to the words uttered. We quickly respond negatively, although the speaker had no ill intent. I heard you look like a hoodlum. That is clearly not saying that you are a hoodlum. Mm-hmm. Ain't nothing bad about truthfully telling someone that they need to improve in some area.
Fair critique. But once again, look like a hoodlum is still subjective, right?
You differenter than me.
Right.
You differenter than me, sir. Mm-hmm. Why hoodlum come out your mouth at all? Fair. These are young black men. Why hoodlum came out of your mouth at all, right? That's the point. Mm-hmm.
What was the first text, Mr. Nuri? The one that you wanted us to respond to? The previous one that you...
I can look for it again in the meantime. But,
we've become so desensitized, right? Just generally, that we don't understand that just using that type of language with young people,
Yes. Let's go to the callers. The caller's been calling for a while, waiting for a while. Let's engage. Go ahead, caller.
Caller, it is just talking away.
Blessings.
You all. Much the same to you. What I want to ask, the gentleman, who had the logo first, and was it not private?
The logo we're speaking about today was the bag that was issued by Bamboo Shack.
It's still the same thing. If there is a dispute of it.
No, so basically people were saying, why you had to put your logo on the bag? You know, these children will get teased because the bag have Bamboo Shack on it.
I got you.
Yeah, and so the point that Mr. Russell was making, multiple points, but the first point was that, listen, people who are in need, right? People who are in need will see the value of the gift. The second point, we were talking about our perception of self, right? And if we, is it that we don't like ourselves, that we don't see something created by a local corporation as valuable? Even when we go abroad, we will wear the merchandising and the logos of strangers, of entities we have nothing about. We don't know who the owners are. We don't know who the founders or the investors are. We don't know what their business practices are. They could be engaged in child slave labor and wage labor, but be glad to wear their logos.
We're going to take a quick break here. Carla, I see you. If you can hold on, continue to hold on, and when I come back on the next side, you'll be first. I found that question. They were talking about the illegal immigrants and opening their stalls, and that they're closing out all the bohemian stalls, right? And policing. And that's what we're talking about, policing in general.
That's on the other side of the
break. On the other side of the break.
I got to tell you a story.
Guardian Radio, AMCA Nuri, Aaron Gray was with me. Also, Darvin Russell was with me. We have a conversation on what's trending inside the news, but we're also talking about how we interact with each other inside today.
We can talk about Nepal. We'll see if Bahamian students are as demure as Nepal students.
Yes. We'll be right back.
You in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner today.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
And welcome back to Guardian Radio AM. I have two texts that says, my take on it is, if your intent is to help to ensure you do no harm in the process of helping, there are other ways to get media attention for charitable acts. And this text says that nobody complained about Barbie, Spider-Man, Superman, and all promotional brands. Mm-hmm. I hear no complaints about these. And we have a caller, and we're going to do that Nepal thing, Aaron. Go ahead, caller, Guardian Radio AM.
Good morning, Gordon Dewey.
Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
And good morning, Darvin Russell.
Morning, sir.
Dennis Belfer here. See people complaining about the benevolence of Bamboo Shack.
Mm-hmm.
I hope next time they make a contribution. Like Aaron, you said, many things was in that bag.
Mm-hmm.
And like they say, you shouldn't judge the book by its cover.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I hope next time when they make a donation,
the logo shouldn't just be on the bag. I hope they put one water bottle in there and have their logo on the water bottle. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In school,
yeah.
They can at least have a beer form with that water bottle full of ice, so they can have a cold drink in the hot day at school.
My Lord.
You know?
Yeah.
Love
so, you understand?
I love it.
We need to be grateful. Mm-hmm. I commented on this the other day when they brought that up. But, you know, we're behemoths. When somebody gave you something, you say thank you.
Yes, sir.
You know, and hey, what did it do with the T-shirts from the political party?
Mm-hmm.
Man,
mm-hmm.
The woman so creative.
Right.
Those ladies have turned them into garments.
Right.
Take two T-shirts and make a gown right yeah. after them. Then they have them rallies.
Yes.
Those things, what?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So... Let's be for real.
Thank you, sir.
Oh, y'all have a nice day.
You too.
Now, Mr. Newry, I didn't think I was going to give PLP praise for anything today, but look here, you go to PLP rally and find a wife. Find a creative woman.
Yes.
She could make a dollar out of 50 cents, right?
Earlier, we were talking about whether the Bahamas students, Bahamian students, are demure in contrast to the world, people who are champion issues and what I call it, be unruly, disruptive. That's the right word I could use. They are disruptive of the status quo.
Mm-hmm.
And culturally, our students, our people are not disruptive, mm-hmm. right? And if they are disruptive, you see we come down on them tremendously. You know, we have people who threaten to close down the bridge and we get vexed.
Mm-hmm.
People who threaten to block the road, we get vexed. Mm-hmm. Recently, at the University in Edinburgh blocked the big exercise of the big university and the students start chanting. And I would like to know if that had happened here.
Mm-hmm.
Bahamian students who are about 17, 18, 19 interrupt the prime minister as he make a speech,
yes.
an address, and say, free Palestine. Mm. What you're doing to immigrants is not right, right? What would we would have boxed someone said, how dare you rude children with your platter here? Because, you know, we still are vexed that if your male child a platter here, mm-hmm. he is ruling.
I tell you what happened to me when I dared to participate in the gender equality referendum. Mm. I dared to protest. Mm. I dared. Ooh, the Bahamian people, let me know. I'm not even talking about the regular people. Yeah, regular people, y'all told me some things, but what the fancy people told me, oh my goodness. Anyway, so Mr. Newry, in Nepal, here's an article. I know you never would have thought you would hear this coming from Nepal. Nepal Parliament set on fire after PM resigns over anti-corruption protests, right? It's from the BBC, British Broadcasting Corporation. But it's more than just anti-corruption protests. At the root of it was young people protesting a particular state action. So let me get into the article quickly. Prime Minister KP Sharma Oli has resigned amid Nepal's worst unrest in decades as public anger mounts over the deaths of 19 anti-corruption protesters in clashes with police on Monday. I just want to stick a pin here. It's likely that these were youth protesters as well. On Tuesday, crowds set fire to Parliament in the capital, Kathmandu, sending thick black smoke billowing into the sky. Government buildings and the houses of political leaders were attacked around the country. Three more deaths were reported on Tuesday amid the chaos. Jail officials said 9 managed to escape from two prisons in Nepal's western districts. The demonstrations were triggered by a ban on social media platforms. That ban was lifted on Monday, but by then protests had swelled into a mass movement. Nepal's army chief issued a statement late on Tuesday accusing demonstrators of taking advantage of the current crisis by damaging, looting, and setting fire to public and private property. So far, some leaders, including ministers, have reportedly taken refuge with the security forces. So far, the protests have not spelled out their demands apart from rallying under the broader anti-corruption call. Kathmandu resident Muna Shrestha, 20, was among the large crowd outside Parliament. Corruption has been a long-term issue, she told the BBC, adding that it is, quote, high time our nation, our prime minister, and anyone in power changes because we need to change. So here's where it began. Last week, Nepal's government ordered authorities to block 26 social media platforms for not complying with a deadline to register. Platforms such as Instagram and Facebook have millions of users in Nepal who rely on them for entertainment, news, and business. The government justified its ban in the name of tackling fake news, hate speech, and online fraud. but young people criticize the move as an attack on free speech. A government minister said they lifted the ban after an emergency meeting late on Monday night to, quote, address the demand, close quotes. At the root of the youth protests, what drove the government's decision to ban these websites in hate speech and online fraud was a growing local campaign called a NEPO Kids campaign, where they were drawing attention to the outrageous and extravagant behavior and spending practices of the kids of politicians, politically exposed people. Wow. And so they alleged that the ban on social media sites was to shut down that campaign. Mm-hmm. And they responded, and that spurred the protests. See, I'm a bit concerned. Mm-hmm. I'm reading this article from the BBC because they are a reputable source. Thing. But they have their feelings, just like I have my feelings. They spin things. And I think it's important to point out that while it has evolved into a broader anti-corruption protest, mm-hmm. at the root of it, it began as a youth movement with a specific, coherent issue, which is demands to address the lack of enforcement or the behavior of the children and family members of politically exposed people.
Good. So, Russell, mm-hmm. why are Bohemian students so demure? They don't protest. They don't agitate. Is it because they haven't had any exposure? Like, people from Nepal have international people there. Mm-hmm. And or we just say, man, we nice people here in the Bahamas. Right? We don't like to overturn the apple cart at all.
I think the things that affect them are not things that get disturbed. We have not had to test their resolve in areas that are of significance to them. This is not a generation that reads in the same way we read. They absorb their information on social media. TikTok is their new encyclopedia. So for them, you aren't touching the issues that matter to them. So these are adults fighting. Why am I getting involved? These aren't issues that bother me. You turn off the Wi-Fi in the house and a different animal comes out. But I don't think that we have a culture of youth protest because we have our revolution was peaceful. So we don't have an armed struggle, if you will, history the way some other cultures have, but that's why I think it is the way that it is.
All right. Nuri, I remember I was reading from Dr. Stephen Arena's book, Toward a New Democratic Franchise, Electoral Reform in the 20th Century Bahamas, mm-hmm. right? There's an excerpt in there, a statement from the Colonial Office, mm-hmm. right? And the Colonial Office basically say, look here, these people, them are unlikely to protest. I paraphrase in kind of wildly, but the money is so good. Like, the people that are making so much money, a political scandal mm-hmm. is unlikely to generate protests because the money making. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the culture that has set in right here. See, because we got people like Fred Mitchell who burn things. What did he burn? He burned the
copy of the Constitution.
Not the original. Good stuff.
Yeah.
Right? We. So this idea that the young people weren't protesters, they were, right?
I think it's about scale.
Good morning, Mr. Franklin, Sir Franklin Wilson. Mm-hmm. Sir Franklin Wilson apparently used to be a radical. Mm. Right? Maynard Gibson used to be a radical. And so I think there's two things. I think proximity to the U.S. is definitely a thing. But I think money is, right? Like, we get more dollars than sense of self, not just common sense, right? But we get more dollars, and we have protested in different ways with our money. Right? Because we've been convinced that you could protest things like that. That's why I say we get more dollars and cents, right? But so you got two things. Proximity to the U.S. is an overarching thing. And then we've had radicals, but somehow we've convinced the young people that they don't have to be radical. They just got to get their money up and they could do what they want.
Get their money up and do what they
which
want.
Which is a trick.
Let's go to this.
Young people is a trick.
Let's go to this column. And I want to ask you, what would get Bohemians Radical to protest, to go in, to Parliament in numbers, to be disruptive? And I mentioned that in a political climate where immigration is a serious conversation. Mm-hmm. You see the angst in Bohemians' voice when they talk about immigration. Is the government ignoring this immigration conversation to their detriment, that there may be a, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't get the word protest, but I wouldn't be animated type of protest. Let's go to caller first, and then you could respond to that. Go ahead, caller. Guardian Radio AM.
Hi. I don't say who I am, but I have spent most of my life in France, and France is a country where it has nothing to do with money. It has to do with the right of any citizen to protest, and they pass that on religiously.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can have fights that erupt from the richest to the poorest, and they all join in together in common solidarity,
okay,
which is amazing to witness and live amongst them.
So there, it's a part of their cultural identity.
Any law, they know their constitution, and they fight. If they have, it's the only country, I think, with 6 weeks vacation. They fought for it. Their ancestors fight for generations to come. The Bahamas isn't fighting because the Bahamas has become complacent. We look the other way. There are women sleeping on our streets, and we look the other way. There are children being heinously raped and killed. We don't march for them either, okay? So there's a certain complacency here, and that's why we have immigration, and things are just piling up on it, because we won't lift a finger. We run to America, but those black Americans fought so that we could benefit from what they fought for. We didn't fight, okay? But if we can sit and go to university, so we benefit. If you go to Europe, you benefit for what people fight for, but we don't come home and fight. We run.
Thank you very much.
So two things. Somebody made money our culture. You make the point, France. It's a culture of protest.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm saying to you is that we are the culture of protest, too. We just named Pompey National Hero. We just named Black Kate a National Hero.
Mm-hmm.
There's protest. We protest in different ways, though. This character, Shine, I got to learn about Shine. I need you all to call me and tell me about Shine. Because Shine was on Fifth Avenue by the time the news that the Titanic was going down hit Fifth Avenue. Shine was already there. I heard there was a Shine on the Black Star as well.
Mm.
I heard there was a Shine in the UNIA as well, right?
But I don't want her comment to get lost, because I think it's important that we not allow that to just stay in the air unchallenged. The notion that we are not a people of protest, two things can be true at the same time. We can be complacent, and I can agree with her on that assertion, but it's not fair to say that we are not a people of protest. The mere fact that we have majority rule indicates differently. The mere fact that the things that do change in this country in any meaningful way are an act of protest. It may not be protest in the way in which you see a demonstration in the Middle East or in Europe, But it is a protest. There's a reason it's called the silent majority. It's because that anger is displayed, whether it's at the poll or letter writing or private conversations you and I are privy to. But
it's more
it
than
looks
that.
Different, yeah.
And that's why I evoke the image of Shine,
sure.
Right? Our protest is passive aggressive. We weird, we wild.
Yeah.
We will wreck the boat while we are on it. And that's what we're actively doing.
Yeah.
Right? Like you see this behavior in on the road in traffic. People running red lights with their children in the car, that's protest. Right? We just have to form a more effective protest, right? Because we have been socialized and we're being led and guided into behaviors that are expedient for somebody, just not us. But we are protesting. This passive-aggressive behavior everywhere is an everyday protest. Everything you see in from Bahamians is protest.
Let's squeeze these callers in. Go ahead, caller. We're giving everybody 20 seconds. Go ahead, caller.
Aaron.
Yeah, turn your radio down, Bremen. Keep talking.
Do you think the type of protest in which we are getting is because our people not being, either they're afraid that they would get beat down, or
Yes.
Not being educated.
Listen, you picking up everything that Russell was saying. Everything that Russell was saying. Remember when he talked about the Maslow's hierarchy of needs and that we stuck in survival. We stuck in survival mode, right? I just saw, I read the text that say that Bahamians are not protesting because they're scared of victimization, right? We know what happens to people that stick their head out. We know the story of Aaron Green. We protest passive aggressively. In fact, we have become, I don't know if this is the most passive aggressive we have been collectively as a people. That's what the protest is. When you see these people then park their car up on the sidewalk, even though they know disabled people need to use the sidewalk, it's a silent protest. It's a passive-aggressive protest. The problem is...
lawlessness.
We're cutting off... It is. That's what it's become. But we're cutting off our nose to spite our face. We're wrecking the boat while we're on it because it's not the most effective protest.
Let's squeeze this caller in. Go ahead, caller.
Hi. Good morning, Nuri, Aaron, and Darren.
30 seconds. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, no problem. Yeah, I just wanted to call to echo what Darren was saying just now, and I'm so happy that you challenged and insisted that you get back to that comment, Darren, to push back on it, because all of the advancements that we have gained in our country is as a result of protest. We have been protesting from the 50s to the 60s to the 70s to the 80s right through to current. And our country is an excellent little country. We are punching well beyond our grade level because of the level of protest that is lively and provocative, as Darren Miller used to say, in our country.
I appreciate
you,
Antoine.
We are people who we believe in negotiating, not killing, to accomplish the same end. Thank you for the opportunity.
Let's go to the next caller there, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. I'm trying to get everybody in. Go ahead.
Who's singing?
Go ahead, caller.
I didn't hear you all address the topic where you were talking about Bahamian removal from selling, but you were saying the non-immigrant people come and sell without having...
Let me apologize for that, miss. We had most of the conversation in the break, Mr. Newey. You had us too excited about it.
No, you guys need to address that.
But I think it needs a whole show. I with you, ma'am. I think it needs a whole show.
Okay, that's what we do. I'll bring it up again tomorrow.
I'm disappointed.
No. I'll bring it up tomorrow. I have the whole show for that. That's good?
Okay.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's
do you like.
Let's squeeze in one more, Kermit. Go ahead, caller. Guiding Radio AM. Go ahead, caller. Oh, it's too late. 11:59. We will continue that conversation.
What I could say to the caller is that, you know, when you get a temporary vendor's permit, you ain't supposed to be there at the end of the day. Maybe you're getting caught because you're still there at the end of the day. That's all I'm saying.
30 seconds, sir, Russell. What do you think about that, the lady, last lady?
I can listen tomorrow. But I would say the thing that we have to do, and what angers Bahamians the most, is that the lack of fairness in the application of the law, and that demonstrates that.
Fairness. Like I said, there's people opening them stores all over the place.
If you want fairness in the law, you got to support the rule of law as well. You can't have both, you know, not supporting the rule of law.
It's illegal to be opening stalls. It's illegal. But you can't have other people doing it and expect me to follow it. You can't have it.
Yeah, no. You got to stop that, though, Mr. Nuri. Don't say they doing it, so I could do it, too.
I can do it, too. Guardian Radio. Hey, I'm with C.A. Nuri. Have a wonderful day.
Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.